Breaking news today on JSecio Live. The Georgia recount unearths more than 2,600 uncounted ballots. And the Trump campaign in court today, federal court in Pennsylvania. We'll update you on that and more today on JSecio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecio Live.
And that was a total of 2,600 ballots that were found on that memory stick?
2,600, and he actually picked up 800 votes total.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And that's why we do audits. It's really verify that every single ballot has been counted.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Think about this, folks. In one county in Georgia, one county, Floyd County, 2,600 votes on a thumb drive that were never counted and cast legally were found. The thumb drive was never entered into the computer to be tabulated. Out of those 2,600 votes, guess who won the most? Donald Trump. He won 1,800 of them. So a net gain of 800. This also, think about this, how could this impact the Purdue Senate race where he was very close not to being in a runoff with John Ossoff? And so will these votes, remember, this is not part of a recount.
No.
These are new votes that were on the thumb drive. Should they be put in the official tally now? And if they are, how close does that get Purdue from avoiding a runoff? I think that's very key. And this is just one county and one thumb drive.
And this is why audits and recounts are important. Now, here's the problem. This isn't a recount and we found a net plus 800 for Trump.
No.
This was, we found ballots that we have never found before. These ballots did not exist before. And now we are plus 800 for the president. So what does that tell you? What does that mean? That means that you've got to really dig deep into all of this because something's just not right in the process. And I think what we have to be clear here is that's why when people say, this is a futile effort, why are you doing this? Precisely for this reason. And by the way, as Jordan just said, it could be outcome determinative on the Purdue race. So this is in Floyd County, which is Rome, Georgia.
How many thumb drives are we going to find in Georgia? Could it be enough to overturn the results of the electoral college?
Can I ask another question? Andy's here with us, joining us too by Skype. I'm thinking about this. You know, we know Floyd County. We know Rome, Georgia. How do you find 2,800 ballots?
Yeah, you do it because you were incompetent to begin with. It's impossible to me to fathom the fact that you in Floyd County, Georgia, which is in extreme northwest Georgia, Rome, Georgia, a civilized area. I've litigated many cases in Floyd Superior Court. These people should know what they're doing. How in the world do you find 2,600 votes and just find them? And then examination being conducted by the Secretary of State could very well reveal, as it has before, that these votes may cause David Perdue, who's got, 49.7% of the vote, if not to have to face a runoff against Ossoff. Because in Georgia, Jay and Jordan, as you know, all you need to have is 50% of the vote plus one. So this is the ultimate in incompetence. And the elections director has been asked, in Floyd County, has been asked by the Georgia Secretary of State to step down, as well he should.
Well, you know, the other issue you have, of course, is you got to get all this fixed before you have, Jordan, the election for the United States Senate, which is just the early part of January. So that is literally around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, this is a big deal. You've got to make sure. I mean, you've got elections on January 5th, and we're still finding brand new votes, not recounted votes, brand new votes in one medium-sized county in Georgia. So how many would you find if you went around all those medium-sized counties or rural counties, and how many thumb drives could we find in a state where the margins were so close, not just to affect the presidential race, but the Senate race as well? Maybe there shouldn't be a runoff for David Perdue. Maybe we should figure that out quickly. That's supposed to be done by November 20th, so very soon. We will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, also, the Trump campaign is at the federal court in Pennsylvania today.
I'll give an update on that.
We'll get an update on that as well. We'll take your calls. Support the work of the ACLJ, a matching challenge the entire month of November. Double the impact of your donation. We're involved in everything, folks. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So, what do we know now? Well, the breaking out of Georgia, there were 2,600 ballots found in Floyd County, Georgia, which is where Rome, Georgia is, if you know Georgia. And so, I'd say a medium-sized county. 2,600 ballots that had never been counted. This was not part of a recount. These are new. On a thumb drive that wasn't entered into correctly by the elections official there. How many of those thumb drives exist in America? How many of those thumb drives exist in Michigan and Georgia and Nevada and Arizona and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania? Because if one in a medium to small size county in Georgia had 2,600 on it, 1,800 of which were for Donald Trump, by the way, then this election could be in a totally different place. I mean, think about that, folks. How many more during now? This is supposed to be done November 20th. During this process Georgia's going through, how many more thumb drives will they find, and how outrageous is it?
Yeah, so
the 2,600 people would have found out next time they looked up on their vote records, their vote wasn't counted.
Which is, yeah. So here's what they got to do, which, you know, this is a real question of voter integrity. Is Stan with us? He is. Stan, I want to ask you this because I know there's some, we're going to have to get into, when this is over, voter integrity issues nationally, because this is a serious problem. I mean, it is a really serious problem. You've got 2,600. I'm sure that's the tip of the iceberg. Votes that were never counted.
Yeah, you're talking about a state
recount,
that took
never
days.
Counted.
Right, in a state that took days to determine a winner, Jay. I mean, the election was that close, and yet you've just now got votes that aren't being counted. That is undermining the integrity of the vote. And the other thing is here, and I know we've talked about this in previous days, but the law in Georgia says that if it's within a half a percentage, only the losing candidate can request a recount. And that has been deemed to say that Senator Perdue cannot ask for a recount because he's actually the leading candidate. Well, he's inside of a quarter of a point of not having to go to a runoff, and yet somehow that state law is being interpreted to not to allow for a recount. And Jay, it is just beyond me how the Secretary of State there can say, I'm going to look at every ballot, but I'm not going to count those in the Senate race. That doesn't make any sense, Jay.
No, it doesn't. But there's another issue, too. And I'm trying to figure this out. So we just did some math. So these additional votes does not put David Perdue at 50 plus one, but it inches him up. I mean, he's already at 49.7. So other place. So here's the thing, though, Andy, this isn't a recount. I mean, they found it because of a recount. But it was never counted. These ballots never came through the system.
That's right, Jay. The ballots were never counted, never came through the system. This is not part of a recount of ballots to determine whether or not we got it right the first time. These are people who were completely disenfranchised had the ballots not been found, and who would not have had an opportunity to cast their vote for president and for secretary of for the United States Senate races with Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. This is unforgivable. And the person who is involved in this, the director of elections and the board of elections in Floyd County, ought to be removed from their position. There is nothing to justify this happening. And as Jordan pointed out, we have 159 counties in the state of Georgia. 159 counties. Imagine how many thumb drives might exist and these other counties that were just maybe conveniently overlooked or stupidly overlooked or negligently overlooked. That would make a big difference, certainly in the Senate election and possibly in the presidential as well.
I mean, yeah, you think about this, 2,600 votes, the whole margin here of victory by Biden right now stands at 14,000. Think about this, that just the percentage of that of the votes are to the margin. And like Andy said, okay, so we know now in this one precinct, I guess, out of Floyd County, they found a thumb drive. There could be more in Floyd County. And then there's 158 more counties in Georgia where these thumb drives could be lying around. That is certainly enough that could do two things. One, put President Trump over the top in Georgia. And two, it could make one of those Senate runoffs go away if enough of these, if this is how they all operate all over the state. And I hope that Secretary of State, who is taking a very bizarre tone for a Republican, seems to me like a rhino type Secretary of State, in my opinion. The fact is, he should be making sure this right now, because Republican or Democrat, those people voted legally and their votes deserve to be cast. Their votes deserve to be again recorded, so that next time they go to vote, it shows up that they did vote in the last presidential election.
Yeah. It's interesting also because this is coming immediately as today at 1:30, our colleague Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York and former U.S. attorney, is going to be arguing in federal court one of the Pennsylvania, big cases in Pennsylvania that have a series of challenges, including constitutional challenges. Now, he's going to be making this argument. Supposedly, you're going to be able to listen into it. We got some reports that we can. We'll try to certainly do that for you and monitor it and then maybe give some reports as if it warrants. But the interesting aspect of this is the Pennsylvania case is the one where we have that stay in place that Justice Alito issued now 2 weeks ago. And Andy, what's fascinating to me, and we were in Washington working on this last week, is that that stay was referred to the court for disposition, yet instead of ruling on it per se, they have allowed Justice Alito's stay, which can stay. I mean, it's just as valid as if the whole court did it. They've allowed that stay to stay in place, which in a sense is giving the opportunity for these cases to be litigated out, at least in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's true. Justice Alito's stay could have been reversed, set aside, or modified by the entire court because those are ultimately referred to the court. But the fact that it has been allowed to remain in place, I think, is a very significant factor, Jay, because I think the court realizes that you've got to keep the status quo, keep these ballots that came in after 8 o'clock on November 3rd segregated and separated so that the integrity of the litigation process is preserved. And I think that was a great victory. And congratulations to you, by the way, for getting that stay from Justice Alito. And I think that was a great victory for what is right and what is just in Pennsylvania and nationwide as well.
Well, look, first of all, a team of lawyers worked on that, and we're glad that for everybody's help. Here's the thing that I think we need to look at, and this is what I want to get into now, is we've got this case in Pennsylvania. It looks like there's going to be one filed in Georgia today. I think Rick Grinnell's team out in Nevada with Adam Laxalt, they may be filing something today.
Yes, and he'll be joining us in the next half hour of the broadcast.
This is, you're seeing what's happening here. There's kind of this patchwork, and people are saying, why aren't you doing this everywhere? Well, you do it in the states that make a difference. We need to explain that to everybody. There may have been, you know, abuse in Illinois, but that's not
or
in play.
California.
Yeah, or California.
And unless it relates to a local, like a federal House race, and there's obviously, if it relates to a local race, they'd be handling it locally at a very local level in court. If it happened to do with a House or Senate race, the RNC would be involved and it is involved. So it is happening at smaller levels as well. It's just not getting the same kind of attention because it's not the presidential race or one of the Senate runoffs that could determine the outcome of the U.S. Senate. Let's go to the phones though, because we've got a call coming in from Rome. Jerry in Georgia on line 3. Hey, Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I appreciate it. First off, I'd like to say thank you for all the work you guys are doing. I've supported you guys for quite some time now with petitions and things. The thing is, I had voted in the primaries and I'd voted in the presidential. And the other day I had heard on the radio about a website you could go to check your voter history. I went there and it showed no voter history for me, period. I don't know if that's part of what was on the thumb drive or not, and I didn't know how to pursue this, and I appreciate you guys doing it.
Okay. So which county? You're in Floyd County.
Yes, I live in Cave Spring.
So you may be one of the 2,600 that they just found. I mean, it's possible. Here's what you need to do. You need to contact your local electoral board there in Floyd County. You can find out if you were on that. They've now tabulated that list. See if you're on that list of 2,600. If you're not, then the people in Floyd County need to look at that, and you'll need to do maybe an affidavit. But this is exactly, Jerry, the problem. So here's what we're telling. We've got a big audience in Georgia. I'm going to tell you what to do in Georgia. Check to see if your name's on the rolls. See if you can do that. Check to see if you voted. I don't know. Are those out yet, Jordan, in most places?
Well, like it, Jerry, you can check. Yeah, you should be able to check on the website. You should be able to check to see if your vote was counted. Yeah, if you've got the information.
Then people need to be doing that because this is 2,600 votes. And like I said, we've got, at the same time, we've got litigation going on and may well have a case filed in Georgia, another case filed in Georgia today and Nevada. So there you have it.
So, folks, coming up again, we're going to get more into this. Rick Rennell going to be joining us, too, on Nevada. He's got a new piece up at ACLJ.org detailing the issues there they are facing in Nevada. It's called Lower Integrity of Signature Matching in Nevada Should Be a Concern for the Court, the Integrity of Our Elections at Stake. That he's talked about that. He'll be talking about more of what they'll be doing in Nevada. He's a special advisor to the ACLJ as well, coming up soon in the second half hour. And we'll be taking more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And let me just tell you right now, we are in an important time of the month of November for the ACLJ is a matching challenge month. What does that mean? That means that every donation that comes in, we've got a group of donors that have said, hey, we're going to match all the donations that come in through the month of November. So you double the impact of your donation. You donate $20, that's like donating $40. $40 is like donating $80, but you're only charged $40. Donate online today at aclj.org. We believe, however the outcomes are here, we're involved in everything and preparing for the future. Whether it's a future with Trump or Biden, we're ready to go even before day one. We're ready to go right now. Support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to JSEC Heal Live. I want to get to more of your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell joining us in the next half hour of the broadcast to talk about planned legal action in Nevada. We've got a court case in federal court in Pennsylvania today. And that's a major case out of Pennsylvania. We've got the stay at the Supreme Court out of Pennsylvania also.
I was working on a Georgia complaint last night for the state of Georgia. And then we had the news about the 2,600 votes being discovered. Hopefully there will be more. It probably will be. And then I think when Rick joins us, we're going to be talking about the actions are taken in Nevada. So this is not over.
No, it's not. I want to go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to JD in Nevada, online one. JD, welcome to JSEC Heal Live.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for taking the call.
Yep.
You're on the air.
All right. My question is this. What can we do as a voting public to encourage or to assist you and the Seculo team in getting the Supreme Court to grant a writ of certiorari so that they accept the case into the Supreme Court, anything that going to the appellate process, et cetera?
Yeah, so look, we got one case is up there right now, and that is actually a case out of Pennsylvania involving the ballots that came in during this extension period that the Secretary of State allowed that three-day period. Now, I don't know if there's 10,000 ballots in that or 50,000, but that has been has been stayed as far as Justice Alito issued an order saying that you got to segregate those ballots, you got to count them separately, you can't add them to the totals. So that's up there. So for the next group of cases, and look, that's why I'm engaged in this, the next group of cases, it's going to be what comes out of the, so you got, for instance, today Mayor Giuliani's arguing this case, which Andy could update everybody on in a moment. Depending on how that case goes, then it goes to the Third Circuit, then it could go to the Supreme Court. But I will tell you, that will move very quickly starting today. Andy, you've looked at that complaint. That is primarily a constitutional complaint.
Yes, it is, Jay. The complaint has been significantly pared down. There are two really counts in there. One is equal protection violation under the Constitution and the elector and the electoral electors' rights under the election clause of the Constitution, and a cause of action under Title 42 U.S.C. 1983, which is the Federal Civil Rights Act, which says that disparate voters, similarly situated voters, rather, cannot be treated in a disparate or dissimilar fashion, and it seeks two remedies. One is that it enjoins the Secretary of State from certifying the results of the election to the Electoral College of the electors, and alternatively, it enjoins any action taken which would permit votes that were illegally included in the ultimate count to be used toward that certification. Now, remember, what we've got, and you've got to think of the posture of the case. We are here on a preliminary injunction this afternoon in Pennsylvania, which means that the court has to decide, is there imminent danger of irreparable harm if I don't give the injunction, and is it likely that the plaintiff will prevail on the merits? That is, will win the case possibly. And if the court finds those two factors are present, and I think it should find that those factors are present, then the injunction will issue. If not, and it's denied, it could go to the Third Circuit, and from there, as the caller mentioned, on certiorari, on a writ to the Supreme Court of the United States. So that is what Mayor Giuliani is going to be arguing this afternoon in about an hour Eastern time.
You know, I think that this is key because this, is, again, explains to you the process. You file in court. Then the other side typically will file in their response a motion to dismiss. Then you take that into court, and you've got to overcome the motion to dismiss, not just in writing, but actually in oral argument. If you overcome the motion to dismiss, then you get to the merits at the district court level. And ultimately, regardless
by the
of
way,
where...
By set for Thursday.
Yeah.
If we win the motion to dismiss, Thursday, boom. Yeah, that's how quick this is going to move everybody.
So you go Thursday, then probably a quick decision out of the district court, then that can be appealed to the Court of Appeals, and then that can be appealed to the Supreme Court. And again, The big first test, though, Dad, always is getting through the motion to dismiss on these cases and making that claim, like Andy walked us through, that there's got to be a remedy, there's got to be a real harm here, yeah. and that they're standing.
So it's standing, remedy, harm, and that it tips in your favor. That's right. what the court's going to be looking at today. In some of these cases, it's different allegations. I'm getting word that in Michigan, the certification, which was supposed to come, I guess, on Thursday from Wayne County, may not come. And I'm just these are just things we're starting to hear. So I think there's enough questions out there still right now that this is very much still in play. But look, the mainstream media is going to say what they're going to say. There's nothing we can do about that. Does that mean that these are successful? Well, we're going to know at the end of the court run. It's got to be done by December 14th because that's when the Electoral College meets. So this is so wherever you are on this, it's a very short fuse of time frame here to get this done.
Exactly right. And I think that has got to be, one, good for everybody who's listening right now. There is a time frame. There's an end date on this. It's not going to be never-ending litigation. And this is not like dealing with the Department of Justice on, you know, probes and things like that. The courts are moving quickly. Really the quick. States are moving quickly. All of this is really, you know, the electors issue, the failed elections issue. Like if Wayne County can't certify, you know, its election results, the biggest county in Michigan, should the state legislature declare a failed election in Michigan and then decide the electors on their own, which could change if three or four states did that, the outcome of the election. By the way, there's a federal law that allows them to do that, and it doesn't define what failed is. So it's up to them to define what failed is. I want to go to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Layla on California, line two. Layla, welcome to Jay Sekulow Lies.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call and all your hard work. My question is that I'm seeing a lot of far-left organizations here in California telling these Californians to go to Georgia and vote or whatever. But I thought you have to be a resident of Georgia to even be involved.
You do have to be a resident of Georgia. There is this move to try to get people to move there en masse, but there is also an intent issue here. And people that are moving just to vote and then are going to change their residence back to where they came from.
Could be in severe legal jeopardy.
You could be in Andy, that could be a felony.
It is a crime to try to engage in election fraud, Jay. You're absolutely right. If you're intending to move to another state, then you have to have a place of residence. You have to register your car. You have to register for homestead exemption. If you've bought property and you're not just a renter, you got to have bills to show that you have a power company.
Yeah, and the Secretary of State in Georgia, he said that. He said, this is what we're going to do to people like Yang who try to do this. Take a listen.
Andrew Yang said he was planning on moving here with him and his family. And then people think they can just come in for an election. You have to have specific intent to stay here, stay put down roots and become a Georgian. Just to come in for an election then bebop out of here after the election, no. We're going to prosecute that, and we're going to work in concert with our attorney general. And he put out notice to that same effect. That would be a voter fraud, and it's severe penalties, up to $100,000 fine, 10 years in prison.
Up to $100,000 fine and 10-year in prison. So, Layla, for your hearing that out in the liberal California, that hey, if you're those Hollywood stars, you've got the money to do it. Just go rent or buy a house in Georgia. Say you live there, go register there. Well, enjoy up to 10 years in prison for doing that. And by the way, the Georgia Secretary of State's notified the Georgia Attorney General to be on the lookout for that and to actively prosecute that. Second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live is coming up next. We've got Rick Rennell, our special advisor, so an update too on what's happening in Nevada. That's coming up in the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Support our work, matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so let's set the stage for you. We've got breaking news out of Georgia, if you're just joining us, that in one county in Georgia, Floyd County, which is where Rome, the city of Rome is, so it's a medium to smaller size county, when you look at the entire county itself, especially, found a thumb drive during this election audit in Georgia and recount with 2,600 votes in Floyd County from voters, legal votes, that were never input into the system. So these weren't recounted votes. These are brand new votes. And guess what? Out of the 2,600, Donald Trump won 1,800 of them.
Yeah. So
how many more thumb drives are we going to find if we actually looked in the states that are determining this election? Because you start putting those together, and suddenly, in a state like Georgia, it doesn't take too many more thumb drives like that to overturn the election results.
Well, it doesn't take too many more thumb drives like that to have the runoff not be a runoff for David Perdue.
That's right.
I heard there's talk now even in the Senate about this idea of some type of election reform. Now, usually it's state to state, but boy, this is showing you know what the problem is? I think Logan said this the other day. The transparency is showing how bad this process is.
Well, look, when it's dependent on a single employee's memory to remember to take a memory stick and upload the votes of 2,600 voters, I think there's a serious problem in Georgia. And I would say that there definitely has to be reform there. And Jay, look, I mean, I think there are models to follow. I've said this before, but if you look at the state of Florida, they had a very difficult election in 2000. They learned from it. They reformed and they counted the votes this time around in a very close, hotly contested race. Didn't end up being so close, but it was close going in about 2 hours, about 11 million votes, Jay. So this can happen. And look, the other thing I would say, I think that's incumbent on federal officials, on state officials to look at reform. But I want to echo the message of what people can do in their state right now. By now, every state that tracks registration should have your vote showing up. I got my notification in Maryland about a week ago, went online, was able to confirm that it was there. Jay, in all of these states, even if it's not one of the ones we're talking about, voters should go and make sure that their vote is registering, because I'll tell you, there's still about a dozen House races out. What if you're in one of those districts that's not contested in the presidential election and you have a similar problem? Take your responsibility seriously. Go make sure that your vote is showing up if your state offers that service.
All right, let's try and grab a phone call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dante in California on line 6. Rick Grinnell, our special advisor, joining us live in the next segment of the broadcast. Hey, Dante.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. My question was, in these battleground states, is the issue about voter fraud, or is it about which ballots should be counted? Because
they kind of go together. Because in Nevada, which we're going to talk about in Rick Grinnell, when you turn the machine down that so low that matches signatures, that it'll match any signature and say it's verified, it's a mixture of both fraud and which ballots should be counted. Should those ballots be counted? Because was that fraud in turning the system down so low that it couldn't match? Same in Pennsylvania. Was it fraud because you didn't allow, the election watchers? Was that fraudulent intent? And then when you combine that two, then should those ballots be counted or how should they be recounted? So there's issues like that. I think there's, in this election cycle, a lot of it is mixed together, fraud, because, for instance, do we know in Floyd County yet if it was fraud that was part of that? We don't. We just know a thumb drive was found. We don't know if somebody was trying to fraudulently hide it.
Yeah.
We're not saying they were, but we don't know. So there's a mixture of all of that, I think, in all of these cases. There could be fraud, and there could be just issues with what votes should have been counted as legal, what should have been cast out as illegal votes.
Linda on YouTube said, with the widespread irregularities, it seems like a national vote audit is necessary. It's really not a national vote. It's a state-by-state on those states that there is that are basically going to be outcome determinative. Not every state is. So that's why you have to narrow the scope of what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we come back. We're going to talk to Rick Grinnell about Nevada, about the state of the campaign as it continues with its battles in court. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your phone calls as well. And remember, folks, a matching challenge month in the month of November. Anything you can donate to the ACLJ, it's effectively double. We have a group of donors that will match all donations that come in the month of November. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, our special advisor for national security and foreign policy. He is also advisor to the RNC and has been overseeing the Nevada efforts there for the campaign and for the RNC. Rick Rennell joining us now live via Skype. If you've got questions, 1-800-684-3110. Rick, you've got a new piece up on ACLJ.org that we posted yesterday. It is called "The Lower Integrity of Signature Matching in Nevada Should Be a Concern for Courts. The integrity of our elections are at stake." What is happening in Nevada as we speak to combat that signature matching problem?
Well, look, we know it's a problem. And part of the problem going forward to combat the current crisis that we have is that all of the ballots and all of the envelopes are controlled by the government, by the Clark County officials. And so we are raising these concerns because we obviously see that there are discrepancies and cases of fraud. And we've been raising these for quite some time. And then just yesterday, Clark County officials threw out an entire race that was on the ballot, the same ballot that had Trump and Biden on the ballot. One of the county commissioner races was thrown out because Clark County officials, which are completely controlled by the Democrats, they decided that this one particular county commissioner race was too close and the fraud was too widespread. And so they threw out this one county commissioner race and said, we're going to have to revote. Now, our issue is if Clark County officials feel so strongly that the race that they conducted, the election that they conducted, is not safe for a county commissioner race and that they have to throw that out, then how are they so certain that that fraud didn't bleed into all of the other races on that ballot? Yeah. You can't just pick and choose one race on a ballot and say fraud was here, but it wasn't in the other races.
I know you want to go to Rick, but I mean, you understand what Rick just said, folks. In Clark County, Nevada, they've already thrown out one of the races because they said there's too much fraud. And yet they don't want to, I mean, yet we're having a challenge in court. And I think that's that.
Yeah, so I want to ask Rick, what's the status of the court work right now? How does it look in court?
Well, we have one case, and we are about to file today another case. That's some breaking news there that I'm sharing with you all. Later today, we will file another case, which picks up on the fact that the Clark County officials have thrown out 153,000 ballots in one race, in a county commissioner's race. Now, you have to suspend reality and common sense if you think that one particular race on a long ballot is the only one with fraud. If Clark County officials feel like there's enough fraud to throw out the county commissioner race, why isn't there enough fraud to throw out the Trump-Biden vote as well in Clark County? And I think when we ask these questions, we don't have sufficient answers from the government agencies. The Clark County officials are saying things like, well, we don't even investigate fraud. We just kind of stumbled upon this fraud because the Secretary of State is the one who investigates. We don't have the ability to investigate. But if they don't have the ability to investigate, but they're throwing out entire races because they're stumbling upon fraud, there's going to be a lot more here. They cannot guarantee us that this fraud stops at a county commissioner race.
Janelle is calling in from Nevada on line 3. Janelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call this morning. My question is, you had mentioned that you should go in and check to make sure that your vote registered voter history. So I did that. But it just shows that I voted. And I know there's been some discussion about votes being changed or cast for, you know, you vote for Trump and they change it and say you voted for Biden. Is there a way to check to see how it was passed?
No, because your vote is secret. No. The only thing they're supposed to record is that you did vote. And they're not supposed to vote how you voted or else...
we don't want that, actually.
That would be a problem, obviously, a serious problem. But I want to go back because... And it shows that you did vote. The fraud would have to be redone by the legal work. And you have to... I mean, like Rick said, they stumbled upon fraud. Did you say, Rick, that they're throwing out 160,000 votes?
153,000 people who voted in one county commissioner race had that one county commissioner race thrown out. Now, those 153,000 people also voted between Trump and Biden.
Right.
But they're picking and choosing.
So they're not throwing out their votes.
So they're not throwing out their votes. They're throwing out the votes of the race they want to overturn.
Right. But for fraud. I mean, right there alone. All of those votes or none of those votes should be thrown aside. That should be it. If there's fraud, they shouldn't count for any vote. They shouldn't count for Biden or Trump.
Either the Clark County officials have confidence in the election that they ran or they don't. They don't get to pick and choose and say, well, we don't really have confidence in one of the races. It's the same ballot. You don't get to pick and choose when you throw something out, but they literally are saying that this county commissioner race is too close and the fraud is too much that they can't ensure that there wasn't a problem in this election. Now, I just think that if Clark County officials, who are all Democrats, are throwing out the race where a Democrat won because they don't have confidence in their own election, this is a crisis in Nevada.
So I want to get, because I think, again, so there's breaking news. This lawsuit will be filed in Nevada. It will raise this issue of the votes that were set aside only in one race, even though those voters, preemptively, most of them voted also in the presidential election. But yet they're saying, I guess they weren't too fraudulent for that, just fraudulent for a local race, which makes no sense. It's over 160,000 votes. Two lawsuits in Nevada. I mean, Rick, from where, because people do want to understand, kind of as you're part of it, we're part of it, where do you see this going to nationally as well in the states that all of this is being litigated? Because they're very unique issues. It's a very different issue in Pennsylvania than it is in Nevada. And of course, then we've got a potential two runoff races in Georgia.
Yeah, you know, this is actually a question for Jay, to be honest, because I'm so deep in the Nevada portion that I'm just fighting for what we see in Clark County and the problems that we're confronting. I think you're right, Jordan, that every single state is different. I'm not sure that we can make specific overarching,
right.
Analogies for every single state. I'm going to let other people who are looking at all of the states make those comparisons. But let me just finish by saying there is no question that when Clark County officials, who are all Democrats, decide to throw out a county commissioner race, that the Democrat won because they don't have confidence in that race, the same races on the same ballot are all in question, and that is the Trump-Biden vote in Nevada.
Well, that certainly should be the case legally under the Equal Protection Clause, that's for sure. And then you mentioned the other states involved, and the way that works in Jordan is the litigation issues are different in each state. Georgia's is different than Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's different than Nevada. That's why you have to go to court in the individual jurisdictions that are outcome determinative.
And you think in Georgia, I know too that we've got these questions coming in about what would it be in Georgia? There's a real issue about Stacey Abrams. Let's go to line four real quick. Heidi, you're on the air.
Yes, in Georgia, as you know, there's what they call a consent decree.
Yeah.
That makes it impossible to check and match signatures on the ballots and envelopes. Like there's no voter ID. So when they take the ballot out of the envelope, it gets lost. They don't know if it's valid or not, who the person is, or if it even gets in the system.
So there is a look right now to see if that consent decree it might well violate the Georgia Constitution, the Georgia statutory law, or the U.S. Constitution. So that's being looked at. That was a consent decree issued in March. But it pretty much did eliminate voter verification.
Yeah, I mean, so there you go. It's voter verification. It's 100,000 votes. So Rick, you expect this will be filed in federal court today, and it will raise this issue of the 160,000 plus votes?
Yeah, it's going to try to show that there are enough discrepancies and enough fraud by the admittance of Clark County officials. I mean, look, we're asking Clark County to guarantee that they ran a safe election. And they have just admitted that they can't, in certain cases, admit that. And matter of fact, they've gone to the next extreme level of throwing out an entire race and calling for something to be redone. Now, my position is, if the case for the county commissioner race is indicative of the whole ballot, which it has to be, then why not throw out the entire election and be much more open with the people of Nevada to say that you didn't run a very good election.
It's a failed election, and federal law is in place for that very situation, Rick. And in a failed election, state legislatures choose the electors. And
only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In our final segment, we want to take as many calls as we can. We've also got Harry Hutchinson joining us. And Rick Rennell was breaking news. I just want you to know that's live. He's joining us via Skype. He's a special advisor to the ACLJ, but in a different role. He is also an advisor to the RNC. And like he said, he's overseeing everything in Nevada. Second lawsuit to be filed there today. And think about this, in Clark County, the largest county in Nevada, and that was breaking news that a second lawsuit would be filed today by the Trump campaign, the RNC, but that in the largest county in Nevada, in Clark County, they're throwing out 160,000-plus votes, but only as those votes relate to a county commission race, not to the rest of the things that were voted on by those voters. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson right away on that, because, Harry, if you believe that there was fraud with those 160,000-plus votes, and it's enough to where you're discounting an entire vote, 160,000 votes in one race. I don't think you should be able to pick and choose race by race. If there was that much fraud in that group of votes, they should all be cast aside.
Absolutely.
It's called failed election, and we're starting to see it happening across the country.
And here we have a clear and unmistakable admission against the interest of the Clark County commissioners and the elections office. On one hand, they say this election for county commissioners, it's corrupt, it's fraudulent, it's erroneous. But we can count the votes for president of the United States. I don't think anyone with a scintilla of intelligence can accept that analysis. I think it is clear beyond question, if you're going to throw out an election for county commissioners, an election involving 150,000 votes, that you then have to throw out the votes of every single voter with respect to the national election. You cannot have it both ways except in Vegas.
So let me ask you this. On the Harris County situation, the Vegas situation, how about the fact that if they just selectively throw out these votes based the way they're doing, not the entire ballot, just the ballot as it relates to that county commission race, doesn't that violate the Equal Protection Clause?
Absolutely. You have clear and unmistakable discrimination, which violates the rights of the president and the electors who otherwise would be elected to vote in the Electoral College on his behalf. So I think it is clear that Las Vegas needs to be cleaned up. And if the state can't clean it up, if the county can't clean it up, then perhaps the federal government needs to come in and clean it up as well.
Folks, we are going to continue to take your phone calls right now, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go in the order people have been holding on. Mary Beth in Maryland on line 5. Mary Beth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you all for the great work that you do, and we've been supporters for a long time. Have two quick questions. Maybe I missed this in history or civics class somewhere, but why don't we have a standard election process for any positions at the federal level, executive branch, legislative branch? Why don't we have a standard process for that across the states instead of allowing each of the states to have their own election process? That's the first question. And the second one is, Stan said that he lives in Maryland and he checked his vote. I'm wondering how to do that. I live in Maryland too.
Ahead. Tell Mary Beth how to check the vote.
Yeah, you get an email if you voted by absentee. If you did not, you can go on the Secretary of State's website, and there is a button that says check the status of your vote.
And the other question is very simple. The states under the Constitution get to set the election rules.
That's right. That's right. That's why it's tough to make uniform federal election rules at all. And you're supposed to be equal protection so that they can create their own rules. We all are supposed to be treated equally. Even if they have kind of different laws and different procedures, we all get the equal protection guarantees in the Constitution. Those are issues being raised in the Pennsylvania case today. Back to the phones we go. Sabrina in Michigan on line 1. This is the failed elections issue. Sabrina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Jay mentioned something that maybe the votes won't count in Michigan and then somebody else decides for Michigan.
No.
Can you explain that?
No. They just haven't certified the votes in Michigan yet. That's all that means. It's not somebody else decides.
Yeah. The somebody else deciding issue that you're hearing about is that if a state legislature declares that they have had a failed election, and this is actually federal law, so this is following not state laws, but it's a federal law. It's the Electoral Count Act. It's been in place since 1887. So that, like, it, where Rick was talking about Nevada, if Clark County had to throw out all of its votes because there was so much fraud, the state probably would need to declare a failed election. What does that mean? That the state legislators, there's not a revote, the state legislature then gets to put in place the electors they choose. And they effectively, because they represent the people, if it's a Republican state legislature, they would put in Republican electors. Now, most of this would have to be done by December 8th. So you'd have to find that this was failed in enough of these states, again, where it's outcome determinative, too.
And that's a big thing, Harry. Anything that's significant has to be outcome determinative. If it's not, it's irrelevant at this point.
I think that's precisely correct. But the caller raises a very good point, particularly with respect to Michigan. There is at least some probability that Michigan will indeed experience a failed election. I'm not predicting that at the moment. But Wayne County in Michigan has a reputation for engaging in fraud. In other words, it does not count every legal vote, and there may be instances where it counts some votes more than once. So, for instance, in Wayne County, Michigan, apparently 107% of registered voters voted in that particular county, at least according to one press report. In Washtenaw County, according to one press report, 114% of registered voters voted. That's a problem.
Let's go to Caroline. She's been holding on in Wisconsin on line two there. I guess there's talk there of a recount as well. Hey, Caroline.
Hi. Apparently, if there are, thanks for taking my call, if there are enough irregularities in an election to necessitate a recount or make one practical, my question becomes, last night on the news, they said that Wisconsin certifying their votes today, that our president has one day, which would be till tomorrow, to request that recount, but he would have to pay $8 million in advance to do that. How can that be right?
So if you're outside, if it's outside the margin of where your state is put in place, so that the election results are outside a certain margin. Yeah, so if it's outside of that, whatever that is, 0.5% or 1%, then the person requesting the recount has to pay for the recount. So I guess in Wisconsin, that's about $8 million. So what the campaign looks at as, it would be the campaign, by the way, or the RNC, it doesn't have to be the president himself writing the check personally, is do they believe the recount would lead to the finding of enough irregularities when they're recounting the ballots to change the outcome? Again, outcome determinative is the key to keep in your mind throughout this process as oral arguments begin on a case in Pennsylvania, another case in Pennsylvania, a new case in Nevada being filed, a new case in Georgia potentially being filed as well. Always think about how to combine. It's about being outcome determinative. That's what it's all about when it comes to these. And of course, we're working on other matters as well. We prepare for the best case scenario, obviously, but as attorneys at the ACLJ, our government affairs team, also prepare for the worst case scenario about who may be taking back Washington, D.C. We're ready to go with the ACLJ before day one. Support our work. We have a matching challenge right now. Double the impact your donation. It means that every donation that comes through the month of November will be matched by a group of donors. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.